Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today's Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 92, the second paragraph that begins, "Continue to speak of alcoholism." And we'll be reading through six sentences, and it ends, "Because you offer a solution," and comments will be on those six sentences. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Anne Marie M., the 12 traditions, Victoria L., readers of the text, Sandy K. and Craig F. Our newcomer greeter is Lilan P., and our second hour host is Anne M. The reference numbers for yesterday, April 22nd, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,365. That's 22365. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,366. That's 22366. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is, that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Anne Marie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our life over the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. And I will now ask Victoria L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Victoria L., and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Victoria L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 92, beginning with the second paragraph that begins, continue to speak of alcoholism through 6 sentences because you offer a solution. And we'll be commenting on those 6 sentences. And I'll now ask Sandy K to please begin reading. Sandy, press star 1.
Moderator, I apologize. I'm not going to be able to read this. Can we have the backup reader read this, please?
Okay. Is Craig F., are you available to read the first 6 sentences?
If he's not, I will.
Okay, actually, yeah, that's okay, Sandy. I can read it, and then we can open it for shares.
Thank you.
Page 92, the second paragraph, and the first 6 sentences. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of the body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. So, good morning, everyone. We'll be commenting on those 6 sentences on page 92. The line's now open for those who would like to share this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any of the meetings, actually Monday and Tuesday this week, if you'll hold back this morning, and who would like to share on what was read?
Rick J., North Carolina.
Rick J., I heard a female voice.
KDG.
I heard KDG and Reba P.
Anna S.
It was that Hannah?
Anna S.
Anna. Thanks, Anna. Anybody else want to get in the lineup?
Roy C.
Roy.
Nancy R.
Nancy R. Okay, let's go with this lineup. We have Rick J., Katie G., Reva P., Anna S., Roy C., and Nancy R. Rick J., you're up, followed by Katie G.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina, and thanks for your service, Lisa. And, continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. And, for me, it's this drilling down on to get to help someone see whether step one applies to them or not. Through my own experience, I'm showing how I'm powerless over this, this condition of body and mind, the physical allergy and mental obsession that, and then my own experience can speak for itself. And like we've been sharing, they're either going to identify or not, but, that opening the door for someone to see themselves through our own experience is what people did for me. And by listening to them, and me relating to them, identifying in with them, helped me see that, I shared a lot of traits that they had, and my experience dovetailed theirs quite significantly, just different movie, same director. But it is the, that powerlessness that there's no matter what we do, we are never going to recover on our own. And, and that's that's why it says they're doomed, right? Who never realize their predicament. And we are leading into step two, and as this paragraph continues, like the only a power greater than ourselves is going to restore us to sanity. But right now, it's just we have to be powerless before step two can be applicable. And my experience is a gift. My darkest past shining my brightest light for someone. And it's not up to me whether or not they admit that they are a compulsive eater, or if they do, it's not my responsibility that they recover. But what I am responsible for is carrying the message and shining that light as best I can, and I don't have to spin anything. I just share my experience and be a good listener and speak clearly and, not mince words at this point. That affliction, leads us into, insanity, asylums, death, hospitals. It's doomed. I'm doomed if I can't find a program, this spiritual program of action, and that's what we're leading people to. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. from North Carolina. And Katie G., you're up, followed by Reva P.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. It's so different to hear somebody's experience, drink, and hope than be told, you need to put on weight. You need to get healthy. You need to stop compulsive eating. And for me, what I often share is that I thought saying I had an illness was a cop-out. Like, I totally remember when I came into the rooms and y'all told me it was an illness. I was like, that's ridiculous. If I'm just a better person, I can stop overeating. If I'm just a better person, I can stop over-exercising. I can stop getting on the scale. I can stop chewing gum. If I'm just a better person, I can handle this. And, the thing is, it never worked. What worked is me hearing from other people, me sharing. You know, when that trauma surgeon told me that his daughter was anorexic, that was way more powerful than him telling me that I was underweight. He said, "You're anorexic, Katie, and your lungs are going to continue to puncture if you don't get some help." Right? That's his experience, strength, and hope. And for me, once I started hearing not just the allergy of the body, right, that when I put addictive foods, ingredients, and behaviors into my body, like my Apple Watch or not being able to stop getting on the scale or chewing gum or drinking diet soda, all the addictive food behaviors that I used in a, but also this obsession of the mind. You know, before I picked up as a little girl, experiences that I always felt like I was somebody else doing something else with some other people at some other time. I felt like I profoundly did not belong. And that thinking of you don't belong, you're fat, you're ugly, you don't belong, you know, ultimately eating is a step up from my thinking. So the main problem of my disease is in my mind. And I really like speaking not just about the allergy of the body, but this obsession of the mind, which unless I have an entire psychic change sufficient to overcome my disease, I'm not going to be okay. I'm not, you know, I'm end up, this isn't just a behavior modification program. If I could modify my behavior, I would have long ago. So thanks be to God for you exercise bulimics, anorexics, gum chewers, diet soda, compulsive eaters. Thanks for sharing with me because of that, I have been able to work the steps, have a spiritual awakening, and pass this message along to others because as I share my experience, strength, and hope, I'm demonstrating, like, I no longer do this. I no longer have to respond to food thoughts, to alcoholic thoughts. I don't have to respond anymore because I have a relationship with God and can turn those thoughts over and help others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. from Boston. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Anna S.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, as we're reading these paragraphs, I'm reflecting on the people who shared their personal experiences with the allergy of the body, the mental obsession with me, and what made the difference. What made the difference? For me, it was so powerful to see evidence standing right in front of my face. I went to a lot of speaker meetings, and hearing people share that they did the things I did, that their mind did the same twist as mine, and we're standing there and weren't doing it anymore. That gave this program such credibility, and it made me curious, and it made an impact. And, you know, to this day, I don't think this is a one-and-done thing. Anytime I make an outreach call or I share a step 10 with a fellow and they let me know, you know, I have felt like that in such and such a situation, or the situation's totally different, but they can identify with me and I can identify with them. And again, they're not in the place that I am when I'm sharing inventory. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. So now I get the opportunity to do that with others. My personal experience with the body and mental illness. And hearing that was an illness sounded really hokey to me at the beginning, but it did relieve that shame. And you know, I was so angry with myself. You know, I can handle all these other areas of life. Why can I not do something simple, like put down food that I know is not right for me? So that gave it also some neutrality, and it didn't become this, you know, bad person kind of thing. And the last thing I'll say is I have an experience where I went to some kind of like support group for people with eating disorders, but there wasn't the spiritual solution. It was depressing going and just sharing experiences without offering a solution that for me was effective. So this has both. You know, we can share the hopelessness because we offer a solution. We are walking solutions, demonstrations of the evidence that this works if we follow the instructions. And that's just so powerful for me. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto. And Anna S., you're up, followed by Roy C.
Hi, Anna S. here from Kenosha, Wisconsin. And, you know, this one really speaks to me recently. I mean, it's funny how higher power just kind of puts everything together. You share, you know, when you're supposed to share. So, you know, sometimes I will, after a meeting, I'll get a ton of phone calls and they'll be like, I can't believe you shared all that. Like, why would you share all that? That's insane. And what I can say is, you know, it's the meetings where people don't share that are not, they're not very successful meetings, you know. I mean, maybe they have something for someone, you know, to have, but it's the meetings where people authentically share their experience, strength, and hope that, you know, that resonates with people. Oh, my God, I don't believe they said that, but I relate to that, or I respond to that, or that's something I might have done, you know. Like, I'm a compulsive eater, a sugar addict. Like, I can't even have the pills for when my sugar gets low, those little glucose tablets, because I will, four bottles later, I will eat those until I've eaten all the bottles of glucose tablets in the house. You know, we're talking hundreds of glucose tablets because it tastes like candy. So that doesn't work for me. Like, I can't have that. You know, and what's interesting is me and my husband both lived in Chicago and now we live in Kenosha. And when we go to meetings in Chicago, there's all this authentic sharing, you know, when we go to different fellowships and things like that, like there's this huge meeting on Saturday nights in Chicago for another program called Regina. And people, I mean, they really get down to the nitty gritty and share their stories, you know, and there's people who resonate. And then in Kenosha, I've been to all kinds of meetings for different fellowships. And in Kenosha, people don't share as much. And I think part of it is it's a smaller town, so they're worried about actually authentically sharing their experience because it's a small town. They don't want the yokels thinking whatever about them, you know. And to me, the meetings are lacking, you know. They're lacking here because people won't authentically share their experience, strength, and hope, you know. And so it's like, gosh, I wish we could go to Regina. I wish it was a little bit closer because, you know, you'll leave that meeting thinking, I cannot believe that they just shared all of that and they're not in jail. Wow. You know, and it's just like, you know, real authentic experiences. And so I don't have a problem sharing, you know, if I see somebody, you know, who's struggling and they see me and they're not even in the program and they see me and they're like, wow, you've lost 50 pounds. You look great. What are you doing? I have no problem saying I'm an Overeaters Anonymous. I have no problem saying that. Why? Because it's putting it out there that there is that even exists, you know, and if they want to hear more, I'll share more, you know, because, you know, they might have what I have and they don't even know it exists. And if I don't share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, then I'm not recovering myself. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Anna S. from Wisconsin. And Roy C., you're up, followed by Nancy R.
Good morning. This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm thankful that I'm able to speak here this morning and listen to people from all over the world. This is wonderful. It is a disease and a malady that's deadly. Without Overeaters Anonymous and this meeting and others like it, I wouldn't be around today. I'm a survivor of a disease like this, and only through a higher power am I able to, you know, make it, you know, few more years and decades or forever, maybe. I don't know. But I'm glad to be able to do that. I'm glad to be able to share it with people. When I come across somebody who's willing to listen and ask me about what I've done, and I feel good to be able to be open enough to explain to them, yeah, I have to be careful about what I do with my eating. I have to eat at certain times. Just this last week, it came to me about midday meal, and I needed to have my meal, and I was in a place where it wouldn't really be that convenient, but I found a way to do it. And it's only through a higher power and Overeaters Anonymous with the tools like a meal plan and to help me through that to get past it and have a successful day. One more successful day is what I need. And I'm going to keep coming back as long as I can do that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. And Nancy R., please share with us.
Good morning, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Northwest Illinois. Good to be here this morning. Excuse me. I had an intuitive thought this morning of go ahead and share on the meeting, you know, press star one and say your name. And then as I listened to these six sentences being read, I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to share. And then I got an even stronger intuitive thought, just put your name out there. So I was like, okay. So I put my name out there. And I share this because you know, I believe that is God's will for me to show up and share and be a part of, and that my crazy alcoholic thinking tells me, oh, no, I don't relate to this. And how could I not relate to this? I know that my overeating is an illness and that it's a fatal malady. I have suffered so much throughout my life with this condition of body and mind that are part of this illness. And I get so much from sharing my experience, strength, and hope with others. And hearing others share their experience, strength, and hope, like part of a community, I'm not alone. I'm not, you know, I could share with others that they're not alone. And I was definitely doomed when I was not willing to listen and participate and share. And so, of course, I can relate to this. And, you know, it's the chronic condition of my mind that accompanies this fatal malady that wants to keep me alone and isolated when what I need is to show up and be one among and share what has been so wonderfully given to me through the directions that lead me to the recovery that I have today. And I'm grateful to share that anytime that I can. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy R. And we are on page 92 this morning. We have read and are commenting on the first six sentences of that paragraph that starts, continue to speak of alcoholism, and ends, because you offer a solution. Who else would like to share this morning?
Craig. Yes.
Janice, PM.
Craig and Janice. Amy. Craig F.
Leia.
PM. Amy.
Conayetta.
Conayetta. Anybody else?
Ken W. H.
Ken.
Sherry A.
Sherry.
Sherry
okay,
A.
Sherry A. I gotcha. Okay, this is what I have, and please remind me of the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from when you share. I have Craig F., Janice P.M., Amy, Leah S., Aniette R., Ken W.H., and Sherry A. So, Craig F., you're up, followed by Janice P.M.
Thank you. This is Craig F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. This paragraph reminds me of some things. Back in the doctor's opinion, we were told that frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And if we come and share just the hopelessness of this disease, if all we talk about is the horrors of the disease, the bad side of it, really all we're doing is an exercise of frothy emotional appeal. But it says that we can do that as long as we have a solution, that we can tell them the horrors of the disease. We can tell them the bad outcomes because we're not going to leave them without any hope. I'm also reminded by this of the story that I heard in this meeting, and I love, and I told it enough I get to kind of take credit for it, although it's not mine. You know, the story was that a guy was going down this road and he fell into a deep hole and he couldn't get out. And the deep hole is supposed to represent this disease. And so along came his friends and family, and they said, "Why'd you get in that hole? Everybody knows not to get in that hole. You shouldn't have fallen in that hole. We all knew it was here. Don't get in the hole." But they went off with a solution. And along comes a physician, a doctor, a man of medicine, and he says, or a woman of medicine, and they say, if you stay in that hole very long, you're going to get sick and die. It's not a healthy place to be. It's going to affect you, and you can't do that. But they don't offer a solution. And the psychiatrist comes along, and he wants to analyze why you allowed yourself to fall in the hole to begin with. But he doesn't offer a solution. He doesn't offer a way out. But along comes somebody from program, a fellow, a recovered compulsive overeater. And they jump down in the hole with you, and they say, "I've been in this hole. I fell in this hole. And here's what I did to get out. Right over here, there's some steps. And if we will work these steps diligently, we can get out of the hole." And, you know, jumping down in the hole, that's sharing your experience, you know. And telling them where the steps are, that's sharing your strength. And helping them get up the steps, that's your hope, you know. The hope is, at the top of these steps, you're back in part of life again. And so this paragraph is telling us that, you know, we can caution people about the whole. We can tell them the tragedy, but, you know, because we have experience, strength, and hope to share, because we can get down in the hole with them and we can show them the way out. We can show them the steps, and
time.
The steps are the solution. And so good. Perfect timing. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Craig F. from Oklahoma. And Janice P.M., you're up, followed by Amy.
Well, thank you so much. This is Janice. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, very grateful, living in Massachusetts for many, many years. And, yeah, you know, this is so, I mean, it's so simple. That Bill's story, you know, it's what Bill tells us to do. And because he was doing the wrong thing, he was going to the bars trying to pull them off and preach and whatever. And, you know, I'm pretty armed, properly armed, I am, with the facts about myself, not about you, not about her, not about that person, about me, my experiences with this disease, with this illness. So, you know, I continue. Of course, if they told me about the illness, I didn't believe it was an illness because I had so much ego that I tried so many things. And the purpose of telling my story is for them to be curious. Get them curious about you. Let them hear some things that you did that they may say to themselves, yeah, I did that too with ice cream. You know, my mind was in the freezer, even though, you know, I was on this special diet. And once I started, you know, I couldn't stop. And once I was stopped, I started again. What was the matter with me? You know, I was married to a doctor. I could get the pills. You know, I had all kinds of intellect on how to, you know, do the right thing, how to manage my food intake, manage my behaviors, but it didn't work. I had a real problem, you know. And they can say, yeah, I did that too. You know, it takes one to know one, and I am one. And I will always be a compulsive overeater. So I'm talking about my problem. And like I heard on these meetings, that you reel them in with your experience, like fishing, going fishing, put the bait on the end of the rod. And they start saying, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, me too. But then I tell them, you know, talk about there is a way out. With all the cancer that I had, with all the hospitalizations I have, I still have a way out. And I'm still living at my age. And why? Because, you know, what I did in my life and it caused these things. Of course, I didn't believe that when I was in it. I didn't believe that it caused my cancers and everything, but I know today it did. But, you know, I don't talk about that. I just talk about the problems I had, my thinking, how my thinking was, the reasons, the excuses that I had to pick up, you know, it was because of this. No, it was because of that. It was because this food made me eat the meatball before it was cooked, you know. I mean, you know, people don't do that. I know my husband never did. He'd be cooking the pasta sauce and just cooking it. I'd want to eat the meatball, you know, before it was done. Well, you see, oh, yeah, yeah. And then the person would say, well, you know, I did that too. Well, there's the curiosity coming in. So what did you do? You know, I can talk about the allergy. All I can say is, but I just couldn't stop because once I started, you know, I set up a craving. And they say, yeah, that happened to me too. I tried. I struggled with one Oreo. Just couldn't do it. Yeah, thank you so much. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the ability to do this. But in this program, thank you, I got a solution. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. And Amy, you're up if you'll give me the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Amy MC from Massachusetts. And yeah, you know, the theme this week for me is sharing experience, strength, and hope. It's, you know, just everywhere it's popping up. It's such a God week, God-focused week about sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And the difference that I'm reminded of is not, you know, in a boastful way, not being like, oh, yeah, well, I'm a compulsive overeater, and you know what? This 12-step program solves all my problems, and now I work with God and other people, and that's what you got to do. It's not in that way. P.S., that was an old version of me where I would want to tell everybody everything, and I did it on this high horse, you know? I did it in a boastful way, but what I've been reminded of countless times this week is the humility that I've learned in program. And it's about, you know, suiting up and showing up and being of service. How can I serve others? That's why I'm here. That's why I have, you know, this recovered Amy MC, recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, because it's been a humbling experience. Now, I don't know about you, but it's nothing to brag about how, you know, I would go through a gallon of ice cream, a box of Cheez-Its, a box of saltine crackers, and then a box of gum because I felt irritable and discontent. That's not, I don't want to brag about that. I want to brag about the solution. But guess what? Part of this solution is practicing the principles, following this book, working with others. And yeah, I want to share my experience, strength, and hope. And when I am working with newcomers or I'm qualifying on a meeting, I'm going to tell you about what it was like at the bottom of my barrel. I'm definitely going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you about that so I can share where I am today and how I get to live free from the compulsion to overeat. And, you know, I've had some trying times over the past year or several. And, you know, life isn't perfect, and that's okay. I continually come back to keeping it simple. Waking up in the morning, getting on my knees, asking God to direct my thinking, because as I've been hearing all morning, other people like me, this disease centers in my mind. And my mind tells me all sorts of crazy things. You know, I can have this, I can have that, do this, do that. Well, where's that coming from? Is it coming from a place of humility and to be of service to other people? Or is it coming from a place of like wanting to stroke my ego and wanting to be boastful and bragging? I want, thank you, I heard that. I just want to shine with the light that God has given me through this program of recovery and all of the people who came before me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Amy M.C. from Massachusetts, and Leah S., you're up, followed by Hanietta R.
Thank you so much for hearing me. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm so glad to be here. This is the crux of it, you know. You lost your weight, Leah. And you're going out and you're going to start sharing everything with everybody? No, no, you can't do that. There's one thing that kept me going in this program, and these were the words I kept hearing. You can stay stopped. You can actually stay stopped. I never heard these words before. And not only that, I heard serenity in people's voices. I heard happiness in people's voices. And I didn't think that it has anything to do with the weight. Come on now, you know. My weight loss is 72 pounds today. And I cannot believe that I do, you know, there's this chocolate been sitting on the table. Nobody wants it. How does that happen? How does that happen? Or that truffle, or that, I mean, these are things that just don't make sense. These steps and this way of life is more than what I imagined or bargained for. I didn't even think about that. And you really can't imagine all that. All you want to do is just get the weight off and, you know, and we'll deal with the rest of it later. But this program attacks, it just attacked me in every area of my life because it started in my mind. You know, you're going to go and say, did the chicken come first or did the egg come first? It doesn't matter. Just follow simple. Person from this program and just follow these steps. Study them. Personalize them for yourself. You don't have to share everything, but you know what? You're going to start seeing and you're going to start saying like I do, wow. Today is wow. Today, how many wows did I get? And that's what I continue doing. And it's so wonderful. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And Hanietta R., you're up by Ken W.H.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for all the shares. Oh, my gosh, they've been phenomenal. I want to go a little bit on a different way. I'm going to say what happened to me. When I first came into the program in 1981, July of 1981, I put an ad in the newspaper that said, are you 50 pounds or more overweight and still call and I put my phone number. I did that in the newspaper. Now, you know that God had something to do with that, because on my own recognizance, I would not have done it. But anyway, thank you for letting me do that. Oh, my name is Hanayeta R., and I'm from Texas, and I am definitely a recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, sorry. Should have done that first. And people called me, and I was having a meeting at my house on Wednesday night. And this one girl came, called me, and said, yes, I'd be glad to come. First, she wanted to know what I was selling, but I told her nothing. I just wanted to be with other people who thought the way I did, and we could maybe form a group that we could call each other. So anyway, she said, well, I have a meeting that I go to on Tuesday night I think that you might like. So she called on Monday. And I said, that would be great. I'll be glad to go. Tell me where it is. She goes, I'll come pick you up. She never told me anything about herself or her program or what she was doing, but I had reached out and gave her the opportunity to take me to my first meeting. And at my first meeting, when they said that this was an illness, oh my gosh, I was so relieved that it wasn't. I thought I was just totally insane. I really did think I was insane. Nobody ate the way I ate. Nobody. I never met anyone that ate the way I did. And here was a room of five people that totally understood and shared what they had gone through. And I was like, oh my gosh. I heard it in a meeting. I heard all these things and the solution. So I got to have it all at one time from several people. And it was like, I don't know, I felt like God had shined a light on me and said, yes, you can recover. You can. You can become sane. When I heard the second step that I can be returned to sanity, I wanted to stand up and sing the Hallelujah chorus. I mean, I was like, it was like amazing, just amazing. And so when I share with other people, I love to be able to share, because it's like I can tell them that there's a solution. I can tell them how far down I was in that hole that somebody talked about for a long time. And then they say when God closes a door, he opens a window somewhere. Well, I would have to walk into that stupid door about 25 times before I realized it was closed and there was a window open. You know, I never got anything. Thank you so much. And I never got anything until I got into this program. And my life is a miracle. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much again. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. And Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Sherry A.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. And this can be a confusing section of the book, but I the one sentence, keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Boy, that's hard. It's too easy to talk about other people, and it's too easy to talk in generalities. This tells me to be specific and stay with my own story. Talk about alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Well, that's fine, but I can talk myself blue in the face. And if that person is not at a state of hopelessness and desperation, I'm talking to the wall. I mean, I've been treated by a number of physicians who are frankly obese, and I've been treated by physicians who smoke, and these are people who know what the malady will produce in the long run. I mean, fatality, they know, and you can talk blue in the face, and it's not going to change anything. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to direct people here with my story, just explain my experience, including my experience and encounter with Overeaters Anonymous and the Big Book. I need to take them, keep pressing them back to the first 4.5 chapters of this book, the first 60 pages. That's more than a third of the book. before I even get to step three. The first two steps, without them, we're just blue in the face. And I need to tell my experience, strength, and hope, share my experience, strength, and hope, what it was like without going through the first and second step, what it was like to keep constantly trying to be better at this eating business, trying to be abstinent, trying to be, try. I just need to get them, tell my story and let it speak to the reality of my powerlessness, my hopelessness, that I was lost on my own and that I needed help. I needed help from a power greater than myself, because I sure couldn't do it. And if I can't share that experience and that strength and that hope that there is a solution, then I'm talking to a wall. If that's not getting through, if I'm not able to, that my story doesn't do it, I have to let it be that maybe somebody else's will. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. And Sherry A., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Sherry A., recovering compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. God brought me to OA, and quite frankly, at the start, I didn't even know why. I hardly knew anything about OA, and this is like maybe 35 or maybe 40 days ago. And it's literally being here and listening to the various prayers and the various experiences and the various perspectives that God has shown me why he's brought me. And he's brought me to OA so that, like the saying says, OA can bring me right back to him. And so my experience has been the reverse of this, but it's just as powerful, because someone didn't talk to me about their malady, and then that encouraged me. God brought me into the rooms, and then I heard about all the ways that I am so similar to everyone else's story, and that kept me. And so I just wanted to, add my voice to the room to say thank you, everyone, for sharing, for being so authentic, and for being so open to talk about all the crazy obsessive things that we've done with food, and not holding that information to yourself, so that when God brought someone like me into the room, I could hear that it's an illness. And like someone else said, I was so mad when I heard that. And I know now it's my ego, because I'm thinking, why do I have to be like this? Why do I have to be so weak? Why do I have to be so, why can't I just be better, right? And it's not that. It's an illness, and that's okay to be sick in this way, because there is a solution. And so I wanna just say thank you, everyone, for being open, for being honest, for being transparent, for being real, and for sharing from your own hurt, your own frustration, your own pain, your own shame, your own whatever. Because your story has kept me in the room. Your story has connected me to God. Your story has shown me so many parts of myself that I didn't even know existed. Why? Because you guys have been open and honest, and I am grateful. God brought me to OA so that OA could bring me to you guys and to him. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sherry A. from Ontario, Canada. And I think we've come to the end of our time for sharing, and I appreciate everyone who shared this morning and Wednesday team for doing service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,368. That's 22368. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Craig F., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yeah. Still Craig F., still recovered in Broken Arrow. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.